I said TKC? I meant TKO. I don't even like Kentucky Fried Chicken. If you want a good fried chicken recipe, go to our website and listen to our broadcast yesterday. We have a great recipe for oven-baked fried chicken. Just as good. Anyway, TKO Teddy Pendergrass. So we are moving in now to, it's time to talk to Baynard Woods, which must mean it's Wednesday. And we're going to see what's in this week's City Paper. Baynard, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you, Mark?
Okay. I'm a little groggy, I think, because I'm making all kinds of misstatements on the air, but that's okay. It happens once in a while. TKC. All right. So tell us what's happening in the City Paper.
So this week is our bird power. is the feature story looking at opening day and at the state of the Orioles. Yeah, exactly. And so, and at the flurry of sort of late off-season hires that that the team did. And Brandon Weigel did a great job of, I confess I'm not a baseball fan, and I and I'm ignorant about it, and I was even captivated by the story. So
so something about the writer.
Yeah, it sure is. Brandon did a great job on it. And then Van follows back up on Dan McIntosh, the former owner of Sonar, and Talking Head was sentenced to 10 years this week.
Oh, really?
For the pot conspiracy, that many years and you know, kilos and kilos of pot, and that was the minimum that the judge could give him, Judge Titus, who thought that was too harsh, even though they were originally shooting the prosecutors for 30 years to life, as calling him a career criminal because of some other smaller pot charges that he'd had. So that's the really big news story this week. And the judge said he was hoping to find some way that he could get out earlier than 10 years. But it's a strange thing when people are excited about 10 years for a pot charge.
That's something very different. That's a different attitude than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, it really is. It could be really a change in the whole idea of because it's a federal sentence, of federal sentencing and the mandatory minimums, that the judge really is taking not a tough-on-crime approach, but this is too harsh of a sentence approach.
Interesting. That's really interesting. So now you wrote something, Stephanie Barber?
Yeah, Stephanie Barber is just a fascinating artist and poet and writer and filmmaker. And so tomorrow night at MICA, she's got her first feature-length film, Daredevils, coming out, and it's an amazing movie that much of which is an interview between an artist and a journalist. And the artist gave Stephanie Barber a chance to, she wrote all of the dialogue, to explore artworks that she couldn't really create, a magnetic hotel room with magnetic fields that would let you sort of levitate above the bed. And so we had a really long conversation that was somewhat contentious, and it was about conversation, since we were enacting the same thing that happens in her movie. It was really a fun conversation. She's a great conversationalist as well as, although somewhat contentious, as well as...
Contentious? What do you mean, contentious?
Well, she kept criticizing my interview techniques. So the imprint it begins with, is it too much to ask that we just talk about the work? Whenever we would talk anything about her life, she would not want to go on the record. Or she would say, why are you asking this like that? And then she ends with this sort of critique of the way that stories are written about female artists in general, that she thinks they tend to focus more on the personality or the quirkiness or something like that rather than the work itself, whereas stories on male artists tend to focus more on the work itself. So it's a really provocative, and the film is great.
So what did you think of her critique of you?
You know, I don't think that's something I do with
right. I'm just
male
teasing.
And female artists, but right. I do think that it's something that can happen. And so I think it was a great, I was happy to be able to put that into the story and have that be part of it. It was smart critique.
I'm thinking about what you were going back to something you said earlier, just very quickly, because I've not read the Van piece on McIntosh, but he's covered this a lot over the last year, and he wrote some pieces last September on it as well, because he could have gotten up to a life in prison for this. I just kind of went back and looked at his old article from September.
That's what they were expecting was at one time was life, and it partly depended on how much pot was being transported as to whether it was going to be life or not. And it partly depended on whether they were going to count him as a career criminal or not, which they did end up counting him as a career criminal, but on a lower grade of a lower amount of pot than the higher amount.
That's just really fascinating. So, and Michelle Stefano and your wonderful, brilliant wife, Nicole King, did a piece on a hairdresser in Turner Station.
Yeah, an amazing woman. So Courtney Speed, she's a beautician, there's her husband on the barbershop side. She ran the beauty parlor shop side, and she also has a store beside it that is the incubator for the Henrietta Lacks Museum that they're hoping will be in Turner Station.
Really?
And yeah, so she really is sort of the one carrying that torch there in Turner Station and wants the whole community to be seen as a historic area, a historic district. And she really champions it and is a fascinating woman.
So you're going to do more further stories on this?
Yeah. I think we're going to keep following it up. We've done several stories on Lacks before, and so Speed ended up as a source in one of those that Van did. And so, yeah, we're going to, as it keeps going forward, and hope she's able to get this museum and really sort of draw attention to, these HeLa cells that are all over, being used for science all over the world now.
That's fascinating. I mean, that and I think these are the kind of stories I think that the city paper is loved for, besides the kind of investigative pieces and pieces on the artistic world, is uncovering these small stories from our communities like Turner Station, that talk about people we don't even know about who are doing these remarkable things that are everyday working class entrepreneurs in their businesses trying to do something different, and they don't come to light.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's that section of the paper, the city folk, is the most important part of the paper, because it does follow people. Everyone has a story and everyone has an interesting story. And so it's our job to find that and find those people and put them in the spotlight for a minute and just be able to tell these stories in the way that great writers like Joseph Mitchell did back in the 30s and do that for Baltimore now.
So now, you have some other pieces on theater coming up, right? That I know.
Yeah. So the Stillpoint Theater Initiative has a really disturbing play up right now called Mr. Marmalade, and it's the main character is a girl who claims she's 7, but it turns out she's actually 4, and she has this imaginary friend who eventually is doing cocaine off of his briefcase, and it's a very disturbing situation and causing the reviewer Brett McCabe to wonder what sort of male is it pointing to that was in her life that makes her imagine that this is what an adult male looks like, but all of the other adults in her life are equally messed up or absent. And so it's a really, and Stillpoint's been doing great work. And so it's up for another week. We really encourage people to see that. And then there's this interesting show up at the Creative Alliance. Alex Carell carves portraits out of phone books, which caused me to riff in the headline on The Jerk when he gets in the phone book and Steve Martin is so excited. But it's amazing, these portraits that he'll actually carve out of the pages. And, there's John Waters and John Wayne, and they're all... But we look at whether... What's the difference between art and kitsch and looking at these as one, they're amazing. And together, the reviewer wonders whether, what he's doing with these and by having them all be celebrities. So I think it's one of those cases where we're really able to ask critical questions of the art that's up in town.
And finally, just briefly here, you have a piece that Brett wrote on, not Brett, but that was in the Eats and Drinks section on Parts and Labor.
Yes. So Andrew Zaleski wrote this piece, and he talked to the butcher specifically that's going to be the master butcher at Parts and Labor, and about the way that his whole philosophy of dealing with meat and getting whole animals and instead of getting pre-cut slices. And it's really an amazing thing. And the way that he started, that he was actually wanted to be an artist and then ended up becoming a butcher. And I at the opening of the Single Carrot Theater, which is going to share the space with Parts and Labor, I got to try a little bit of their meat, and it was delicious. So I'm really looking forward to them opening up and being able to have a drink there and taste some of the charcuterie and stuff that they're doing.
Have a drink and buy your meat.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and if you're looking for some more music to play on the way out, we also, Al Shipley did a nice piece on Mobb Deep, who are coming back to Baltimore 20 years into the game, and they're still doing a great job. So that might be something nice to put on one of your outros later on.
Well, thanks for that, Baynard. Baynard Woods, senior editor of the City Paper. Thanks once again. And folks, just go around town. That they're in the metal box. Open the box and walk away with the paper.
And the cover this week, designed by Athena Towery, a spectacular cover. So she did a great job on that.
Cool. Can't wait to see that. All right, man. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Talk to you next week.
Soon. Thank you. So we're going to take a little break here. Let me say, I made a couple of misquotes here. One thing I said, that poor Rufus Thomas was born on 63, but he was actually born in 1917. And I missaid that on the air. And we're going into a break here with Boys in the Hood. Eazy-E, he was part of NWA, died on this day in 1995. Reminding you, as we go out of here, the Mark Steiner Show, not out of here, going to our next hour, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org, click on their banner, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. And we're going to come back and look at the debate over this question of Asians being a model minority in America. All that coming up and more in the next hour. Stay with us. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA, because the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll...